We've been hearing for years now about college programs aimed at getting women into STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, fields where women are traditionally underrepresented. Well, now the Trump administration has opened investigations into female-only scholarships, awards, workshops, and camps at more than two dozen universities, including the University of California, Berkeley, Princeton, and Rice University in Houston. Some professors have filed complaints that by offering these special programs to women without offering equivalent programs to men, these universities are violating Title IX. To understand more about how all of this applies to these cases, Title IX, we're joined by Erin Bazouvis. She's a Title IX expert and law professor at Western New England University. Erin, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first I want to talk about what kinds of scholarships we're talking about. Schools themselves, from our understanding, aren't allowed to fund single-sex scholarships under Title IX.
That's right. There is a particular regulatory provision in the regulations that implement and enforce Title IX that talks about financial assistance. And the general rule is that schools have to make financial aid and scholarships available to students open with regard to sex. There is, though, an exception for financial aid that is, quote, established by certain wills, trusts, and bequests. So I think what's anticipated there is that you might have, say, a wealthy alum who in their will leaves money to support a named scholarship. And it might be, for example, to support women's access into STEM fields or something else. And to allow for that to happen, the regulations say that that's okay, as long as the overall effect of any sex-restricted scholarships does not discriminate on the basis of sex.
Okay. And can you explain that overall effect? That's an interesting phrasing.
Well, I would if I could. It's not entirely clear from the text of the regulation. You know, I think that one way to be on the safe side, you know, I think that if you were talking to university counsel who are looking at this, they would say, you know, it certainly can't be the case that you're discriminating on the basis of sex overall if you have an equal number of money that's restricted for each sex. Okay. So if you had a certain, you know, $1,000 scholarship that only women could apply for, if you had the equivalent for men, that would pretty clearly be okay. I think that that's not necessarily the only thing that makes scholarship programs non-discriminatory overall. Maybe you look at just the sex of the people who have received scholarships in a given year. And if you add them all up, and some of them are sex restricted and some of them are not, but overall, you're not favoring one sex or the other in the effective distribution of your scholarships, that could be okay too. I think it'll be interesting to see what OCR does with this investigation because it may offer some clarity on this point.
Okay. Let's talk about outcomes for a moment. We know that women earn about half of all science and engineering bachelor's degrees right now, but they're still underrepresented very severely in some of these fields. I'm wondering, with the Title IX argument based on these eventual outcomes, hold water?
You know, in terms of just a strictly legal question, Title IX doesn't require any sort of equity in the outcomes of certain degrees. The statute is generally written to prohibit discrimination, to prohibit schools from treating students differently on the basis of sex. I mean, historically, the statute was aimed at admissions caps and quotas that were actually commonplace in the 60s and 70s that would say, oh, you know, we can't have more than 20% female entering class of our law school, for example. So really, the statute was meant to take sex out of the equation entirely. There are some exceptions made in the regulations where it is okay to treat students differently on the basis of sex. And that's what allows for things like sex-segregated athletic programs, dormitories, bathrooms. In K through 12, there's some allowances for single-sex education under some narrow circumstances. But there's not any sort of general mandate that we have to equalize either admissions or outcomes in particular academic fields. That said, the spirit of Title IX is trying to reduce barriers to education that have existed on the basis of sex. There is some general language in the implementing regulations that permits affirmative action, that permits schools to address historical and continuing disparities. So I think there's an argument to be made in the spirit of the statute that it's appropriate for schools to look at disciplines and occupations where women are underrepresented and to try to find ways to help reduce those barriers. I would also say that it should be fair game for colleges and universities to do that for men as well. Mm. And I think that anyone who's interested in the kinds of gender stereotypes that hold women back mm-hmm. would like to see that effort made at enticing men into some of the fields that are traditionally dominated by women.
That's an interesting point. I'm curious what fields those are where we're seeing an underrepresented percentage of men.
Well, education, for mm-hmm, example, nursing, mm-hmm. yep. caretaking fields like that, but also things like public administration might be another. And I think it's going to differ depending on location. It's going to differ depending on what particular aspect of the field that you're talking about. Even when we're talking about STEM, you could find some numbers, and I've heard the complainants that led to this investigation, they cite data that says that women are entering STEM graduate programs in equal numbers as men. And that's true in the aggregate, but not when you drill down into specific STEM fields like engineering, you know, information technology. Right? You can definitely find pockets of deep, deep gender segregation within STEM, even though in the aggregate it doesn't look that way because
still
STEM also includes
there.
Like biology, yeah. for example, mm-hmm. which is a lot more gender even with respect to the applicant pool. So, you know, I think that a sophisticated approach to this problem would take a look at that kind of context and would really be looking for areas of specific underrepresentation and to try to ameliorate it, not just with scholarship, but with some of the other kinds of supportive programs that you mentioned in the introduction, workshops, camps.
And those types of others, yes.
Exactly.
You know, these investigations come as some of the other applications of the Title IX are under fire by the Trump administration. U.S. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos is proposing sweeping changes to the rules that would give more rights to people accused of sexual misconduct cases. I'd like to know from you, does it surprise you that these investigations and lawsuits are coming up now?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I don't know personally the people who are behind the complaints that led to this investigation into single-sex programs, so I can't speculate on their specific motives, but I definitely noticed the coincidence of timing as well. Title IX's efforts to try to make, you know, colleges and university environments safer for victims of sexual assault, the population of which is predominantly female. You know, I think that it's definitely seen by some that Title IX is somehow making college and university environments more difficult for men. There's always been a history of Title IX advancing equality and then being attacked with sort of political backlash. And that could be what's going on here. And I think it's, you know, it's certainly tempting if you're going to engage in backlash, if you can use Title IX to attack Title IX's success. There's definitely an appealing kind of symbolic quality to that, if that mm-hmm. was your goal. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that we're seeing this effort, you know, being pushed now.
This will be interesting to follow as it progresses. Thank you for adding some clarity to this. That's Erin Bazouvis. She is a law professor at Western New England University. Erin, thank you.
My pleasure to talk to you.
And in other Title IX news, we're watching lawsuits from multiple men who were disciplined by universities and colleges over rape and sexual misconduct accusations. Among them are students from Michigan State, the University of California, and California State, and most recently, a Baylor professor who says he was falsely accused of raping a student. They're hoping to clear their reputations and turn back a wave of Title IX complaints filed at universities during the Me Too movement. Michelle Simpson Teagle has been representing victims as well as men accused of sexual assault, and she spoke with NPR's Weekend Edition.
What these men are saying is we didn't get a fair shot. The process wasn't fair. And sometimes what they're also asking through these lawsuits is for the federal courts to step in and change the result or order the school to conduct the investigation in a different way.
One man is even seeking class action status. Simpson Teagle says that's unlikely. It would mean accused students and survivors have to go through investigations all over again.
And it also has a wider reaching impact as far as what students who are going through these circumstances see and think as far as reporting.
We'll certainly be following all of these Title IX cases as they progress through the courts and the Department of Education.